Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 12, Srimad Bhagavatam, summarized text number 48. Sankirtyamano Bhagavan Anantaha. Srutano bhavo vyasanam hi pumsam.
Srutano bhavo vyasanam hi pumsam.
Bravisya chittam vidunokya sesham.
Bravisya chittam vidunokya sesham.
Yata tamurko brahmi vati vataha.
Yata tamurko brahmi vati vataha.
Sankirtyamanaha. Being properly chanted about. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anantaha, the unlimited. Shruta, being heard about. Anubhavaha, his potency. Vyasanam, the misery.
Indeed.
Pumsam.
Of persons.
Pravisya.
Enter.
Chittam. The heart.
Vidunoti.
Cleans away.
Asecham.
Entirely. Yata.
Just as.
Tamaha.
Darkness.
Arkaha, the
sun.
Abram, clouds.
Eva,
as.
Ativataha,
a strong wind.
When
people properly glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or simply hear about his power, the Lord personally enters their hearts and cleanses away every trace of misfortune, just as the sun removes the darkness, or as a powerful wind drives away the clouds. Purport. One may not be satisfied by the example of the sun removing the darkness, since sometimes the darkness in a cave is not removed by the sun. Therefore, the example is given of a strong wind that drives away a cover of clouds. It is thus emphatically stated here that the Supreme Lord will remove from the heart of his devotee the darkness of material illusion. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gnanjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmae Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Dina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadanayam Vidati Svarapadantikam Mukham Kroti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Gurim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. So this is the purpose. This is the purpose of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Srila Prabhupada understood the potency of Krishna Katha, the potency of discussing topics about Krishna, the potency of chanting Hare Krishna. Whenever we chant in Sankirtan, or whenever we come together to hear and discuss the topics of the Bhagavatam or the Bhagavad Gita or any of the literature, as we say, literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. So whenever the devotees come together for the performance of Sankirtan, which is basically the glorification of the Lord, then Krishna is personally present in those activities. And as such, he, well, he's already there. Krishna's everywhere, in everything. But specifically, it's described, he enters within the heart of the devotees, or even the non-devotees, and acts to purify their hearts. Vidhunoti. Vidhunoti means cleans away. That verse is also in Srimatam Sva Katha Krishna Punya Sravana Kirtana. Next word, what? Vidhunoti? If you all speak at once and I can't hear you. Vidhunoti? What's the next word? Sruta. I know that verse, but for the moment I've forgotten it. Vidhunoti. What's the next word? Surit. Within the heart. Yeah. Suritsatam. So, abhadrani. The abhadra, or the inauspicious things. In other words, the contamination of materialism. The contamination of thinking that we're a product of the material, as opposed to understanding our actual position, which is spiritual by nature. The living entity's dilemma, if you like, is that we are part and parcel of Krishna, but we have this tendency to be attracted to the material energy and to come under its influence. Our nature is our eternal nature is spiritual in quality, but we have this unfortunate disqualification in that the material energy, even though it's an inferior energy as described by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, still it's empowered by Krishna to bewilder those who still have a desire to exist separately from Krishna, to ignore our eternal relationship with God. And the whole process of the Sankirtan movement is to cleanse away that contamination. Get rid of that misidentification, thinking that we're a product of the material energy, and re-establishing the correct understanding, the proper understanding, our original constitutional position, recognizing that we're actually part and parcel of Krishna, and as part and parcel of Krishna we have a role or a part to play in Krishna's plan, that we're actually Krishna's servants, not the enjoyers. Well, we're enjoyers. Being part and parcel of Krishna, Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. And we're also enjoyers, but not enjoyers of the material energy. The enjoyer of material energy just invites suffering. That's the result of trying to enjoy the material energy, because actually it's not enjoyable. But as parts and parcels of Krishna, as spiritual enjoyers, we enjoy through the activities, through the practice and the perfection of devotional service. And one of the prime processes, well, the first two processes as described by Prahlad Maharaj, Shravanam and Kirtanam, hearing and chanting. This is the beginning, if you like. Shravanadi, the whole process of devotional service begins with hearing and then chanting. And so that's what we do when we come together, especially to recite the Srimad Bhagavatam, because this section of the Bhagavatam is a description of all of the topics that are contained within this chapter describes all of the topics that are contained within the full range of the Bhagavatam, from the first to the 12 cantos. And then at the end of this chapter, in these verses, the potency of hearing these topics is described. What the result, in other words. And it's described here that when it's mentioned here, properly glorify. When people properly glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or simply hear about His power, the Lord personally enters their hearts and cleanses away every trace of misfortune. So, Prabhupada created the International Society for Krishna Consciousness so that people could engage in this Sankirtanam, and so that it could be performed as it is meant to be performed. Because, there is a proper way to do things, and then there's an improper way also. So the hearing and chanting, the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has to be done in the correct fashion. Prabhupada gives the example of going to the doctor and seeking some medicine to cure an ailment. If you want to be cured of the disease, then you have to listen to the instructions of the doctor and follow those instructions. Not that you go to the doctor, get your medicine, and go home and just drink the whole bottle all at once. But you have to read the instructions on the label, follow the guidelines that are given by the physician. And then by following that strictly, one will get cured of the disease. Disease being, in this case, in our case, bewilderment by the material energy, attachment to material existence. So the Bhagavatam has to be, and Sankirtan, in fact all devotional service has to be performed in the correct manner, in the proper fashion. One of the first qualifications that's required is that one has to be a devotee. And how does one become a devotee? Anybody got any suggestions? Yes, very good. Bona fide spiritual master, yes, go to the top of the class, Mahatmaji. One has to be a devotee, and a devotee following in the footsteps of the parampara system. Right? One has to learn the process of devotional service from somebody who knows how to practice it. One can't, as I say, the process of devotional service is like going to the doctor. One has to take the cure. So, hearing from the authorized source. Beep, beep. This is a problem with the modern age. You know, we're always being awoken by beep, beep, boom, boom, or other noises. But, you know, when I wasn't feeling well, just the noise of the phone would irritate me. Because, you know, all the time, beep, beep, another message. And another message means somebody saying, I want something. not another thing to do. Just put me into a state of extreme nervousness. Switched on 24 hours. But actually what it means is 24 hours of anxiety. So, properly glorified means coming in the disciplinary succession, following the process of the parampara, hearing from the right source, receiving the message from the right source, and then applying that information properly. When that activity is engaged in, Krishna is present. In fact, Prabhupada explains how the spiritual master is considered by the disciple as being as good as God. And so the instructions that one receives from the spiritual master can be taken as being instructions given by Krishna. This is the potency, the power, why the spiritual master is offered great respect. You know, we have the Vyasa Puja, because the spiritual master is like a transcendental professor of the spiritual science, or should be. This is a bona fide guru is one who, or a bona fide spiritual master, and that means anybody can have this qualification. It's not that it's reserved for only an elite few. Of course, it is an elite few. Those elite few who take Krishna's instructions and the instructions of the spiritual master seriously and put them into practice, and then realize through the practice their spiritual identity, their spiritual relationship, their true nature. So, the spiritual master himself or herself considers themselves just a servant of Krishna. Right? Their mood is, I'm a servant. But when Prabhupada was asked, when he was explaining the Varnashram system to one reporter, about the first class, the second class, the third class, and the fourth class, and then they said, what class are you? Prabhupada said, I'm fifth class. The servant of all of the other classes. Right. So the spiritual master or the spiritual teacher, the qualified devotee, doesn't consider themselves to be the master. Right. But the master is one who considers themselves to be the servant. And of course that's the mood, that's the proper mood. The performance of kirtan, the hearing of the Srimad Bhagavatam, although it's enjoyable, we don't pursue it simply for its enjoyment's sake, but rather we engage in those activities for our purification. And ultimately, that purification, it's not even necessarily selfish, although we understand that that's why we do it, for our purification, but also we aspire for purification because we want to also give it to others. But that's the nature of the Sankirtan movement, is that automatically we will become purified, but our goal is also to give this opportunity to make spiritual advancement, to make progress, to understand our spiritual identity to everybody. So the qualification of a devotee and the mood or the attitude of the service attitude is important in order for the process to actually, in order for Krishna to be personally present and appear within the heart and purify the devotees of the material contamination. We shouldn't be surprised that from time to time, even though we engage in the process of devotional service and we hear the Srimad Bhagavatam and we engage in the Sankirtan, we shouldn't be surprised that still sometimes we find some contamination. We've been in the material world for so long that in the scripture it's described as anadi. We've been here forever. Right? Even though there is actually a beginning. We've come into the material world at some point in time. But that point in time is so long ago that it's not, you know, that we can't trace it. Trace the history. So we've been in the material world for countless births, pursuing countless material aspirations. So we shouldn't be surprised that the process takes time to work. And Prabhupada mentions in the purport to Srimatam Swakata Krishna that women and wealth are major obstacles on the path of devotional service, or by, you know, we could say men and wealth for the women. Men. Yeah, the men like to think themselves superior. So Prabhupada mentions that many stalwart practitioners of devotional service have been distracted by material things. So, you know, sometimes the devotees wonder, you know, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, but I still find that I'm not fully purified. Some days I feel like I'm a pure devotee, and then the next day I feel like I've not made any advancement at all. Which is not bad, actually. That's good to be humble. In fact, sometimes when we think we're making advancement, that's the most dangerous situation, because then we become proud. And so therefore, Lord Chaitanya says, you know, in the process of Sankirtan, Trinada Pisu Nichinata Rorada Sakishnana Amanina Amanadina Kirtaniya Sadhari. So that feeling of desperation and those feelings of worthlessness, they're actually quite valuable. We feel as if, oh no, I'm not making any progress. Life is terrible, but that's actually good. That's good because we're cultivating then a proper mood of humility rather than thinking, now I'm the most advanced. I'm feeling the ecstasy. Which is also good. Right? All good. Everything's good in Sankirtan. Even when things are bad, it's good. Because it's connected to Krishna. And Krishna's working. You know, Krishna churns us for our purification. And he's always ready, he's always willing, he's always able to assist the devotees. Prabhupada says, we can't know how much Krishna wants us to go back home, back to Godhead. And Prabhupada makes the point, he says that most people don't want to go back home, back to Godhead. Huh? I don't know if you can relate to that. Even though we dress in the guise of a devotee, we put tilak on and we chant Hare Krishna, sometimes we still feel within our hearts that, and that's the contamination of lifetime after lifetime after lifetime after lifetime of existence in the material world. But Krishna's ready to pavitram idam uttamam. He's the purest, transcendental. And this is why the Bhagavatam is so important, because we can see Prabhupada made the Bhagavatam, you know, one of the most essential elements of devotional activities and devotional service. So that every day Prabhupada designed our morning program in such a way so that we would come together regularly, every day. Nashta prayasava badresu nitya bhagavata sevaya. Nitya means eternally or regularly, constantly. Nitya bhagavata sevaya. So Prabhupada created the morning program in such a way so that we would come together every day, every morning, before we go about our daily activities, so that we could hear the Bhagavatam, associate with Krishna, associate with the devotees. And this is probably the most important point. Prabhupada mentions that without the association of the devotees, our devotional service cannot mature. We need to hear and discuss the Bhagavatam in the association of the devotees. We need to render devotional service. We need to perform our Sankirtan. In fact, you can't really perform Sankirtan without the devotees. And without that service attitude, the desire to render service. In fact, in the Bhagavatam it describes, if we want to develop a desire to hear the messages of Krishna, what's the method? Who can say? What's the method for developing the desire to hear about Krishna?
Service
to the devotees. Service to the spiritual master, but not just the spiritual not just the persons who take on the role of spiritual master, but you know, spiritual master can mean anybody who gives good advice in how to practice and how to, who sets a good example even. This is the potency of the association of the devotees. What's it? Sadhu sangha sava sastra koi. Labha matra sadhu sangha sava siddhi hoi. All perfection, sarva siddhi. All perfections can be realized just by a moment's association with the devotee. Why a moment's association with the devotee? Because in that association, one gets an opportunity to render service to Krishna. And when one renders service to Krishna, then one's life is perfect. One starts the process of devotional service. In fact, Prabhupada says, service to the devotees is as good, if not better, than service to Krishna. Huh? Krishna mentions that. Service to my devotees is service. Krishna appreciates service to his devotees more than he does direct service to himself. This is the power. Because in the association of the devotees, one can learn the purport of the Bhagavatam. One can witness, one can see the theoretical, if you like. In one sense, the Bhagavatam is the theory, but in the association of the devotee, it's put into practice. Right? And that practice is done with the right mentality, with the right mood, with that service attitude, with humility, without personal motivation. That's the proper glorification. Anyabhilashita sunyam jnana kama inabhitam. In other words, our recitation of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in order for the Bhagavatam to be very powerful and pure, it needs to be performed with the proper mood of service, without personal motivation. Then when the Bhagavatam is approached in that fashion, then Krishna very easily enters within the heart and removes the unwanted things, material attachments, material motivations. So in this verse, the Bhagavatam is being glorified, and its potency is being underlined, emphasized. Just as the sun removes darkness, and as the wind drives away the clouds, so similarly, the Srimad Bhagavatam is mentioned in the beginning of the Bhagavatam. By recitation of the Bhagavatam, then in the Kali Yuga, all ignorance can be destroyed. All obstacles on the path of devotional service can be destroyed by regular hearing of the Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of the devotees. Prabhupada says that, you know, this famous purport where Prabhupada says, anybody who is trying to make spiritual advancement and remains aloof from the Krishna consciousness movement is living an hallucination. You recall that purport? I was looking last night. So properly glorified means coming together, hearing from the authorized persons, following in the authorized parampara, and then having the right motivation. We're not devotees to further material prosperity. And so if we're not materially prosperous, that doesn't mean, oh no, I don't want to be a devotee anymore. Or if life gets tough. And we're not studying the Srimad Bhagavatam just to become learned. Lord Brahma says, Vedeshu Dulabham. Just by studying the Vedas, actually it's impossible to understand Krishna. Prabhupada Prabhupada makes a point time and time again. People study their Vedanta, but what's their ultimate conclusion? Their ultimate conclusion is impersonal. So even though they make a show of studying the Vedanta and the Vedas, they come to the wrong conclusion. But for a devotee, adulabham, it's easy, atmabhakta. For one who's a devotee, it's very easy to understand Krishna. But it has to be free from making material advancement or acquiring knowledge. We don't study the Srimad Bhagavatam just for the sake of acquiring knowledge. We study the Srimad Bhagavatam so that we can become a better devotee. Knowledge and renunciation comes automatically, Bhagavatam explains. When our devotion is flourishing, then automatically renunciation and knowledge come automatically. But we don't seek those things out. Material prosperity may or may not come. Knowledge may or may not come. But what should be present within the heart is that desire to be a servant under any circumstances. You know, we're not fair weather friends of Krishna. You know what a fair weather friend is? When everything's going fine, then we're friends. But then when there's some disagreement, then we're enemies. Huh? And our friendships will be tested. You know, there's service to be done, differences of opinion. You want to do it your way, I want to do it my way. Right? So there'll always be some disagreement at some point in time. But to maintain the relationship, even when the going gets tough, still one maintains a strong service attitude, then the hearing of the Bhagavatam will be very potent, powerful, even in difficult times. The Sankirtan will be powerful and potent. You know, Srila Prabhupada mentioned, when Hari Sori was here, was Hari Sori speaking on Prabhupada, the living Bhagavatam? Prabhupada mentioned that he was talking about the time when, this is up at New Govardhan, when Prabhupada was forming the League of Devotees in Jhansi. And it was very difficult times for Srila Prabhupada because he had nothing. He left his family, left his business, and he just started his preaching. And he had materially, he was destitute. A very trying time. Yet Prabhupada didn't lose his faith. And he said later that he understood that that testing period was actually Krishna bestowing his greatest mercy upon him. When he was in Jhansi, Prabhupada published the Bhagavatam. He was publishing the Bhagavatam at that time, and there was a stamp on the League of Devotees. And Hari Sori was intrigued to find out what was the League of Devotees. He was asking Prabhupada, what was the League of Devotees? And Prabhupada laughed and he said, actually it was just me. It was just me. But you can see in the League, in Prabhupada's attempt to establish the League of Devotees, you see the seed of ISKCON. And Prabhupada eventually abandoned the League of Devotees. There were a number of people that were coming for classes and so forth, but Prabhupada said they weren't interested in joining me. Right? In other words, they weren't interested in becoming devotees. They were interested in studying the Shastra. Or, you know, he said they were very expert in Sanskrit. But that's not what Prabhupada wanted. Prabhupada wanted devotees. And devotees who would help him preach. in effect, that's, you know, our personal sadhana and our personal development of Krishna consciousness is to make us strong so that we can then go and give Krishna to others. You know, it's not about us, it's about serving Krishna, and ultimately service to Krishna, especially in the Kali Yuga, this day and age, as they preach, and give Krishna consciousness to others. And that will automatically mean that we have to undergo some austerity, and that will be tested. But if we can, you know, face those tests with that service, still keep our service mood intact, then Krishna will work within our hearts. In fact, we will intensify intensify that desire to hear about Krishna, that desire to study the Srimad Bhagavatam with the purpose of becoming purified and with the purpose of becoming a better devotee. That's the real purpose of hearing the Bhagavatam. So when properly glorified, or even actually when not properly glorified, in the sense that, and I should qualify that, because Prabhupada really criticised people who would just come together for the Bhagavat Saptaha, say, for example. People just come for 7 days to hear the Bhagavatam, just to enjoy it, or just to get some pious credits. But for those who don't understand the potency of the Bhagavatam, but who hear it from the right source, it'll be effective. Right? It'll be powerful. But the Bhagavatam shouldn't be, the recitation of the Bhagavatam shouldn't be performed for, you know, for some material benefits. But rather, it's performed purely for spiritual benefit. Then, when it's performed for spiritual benefit, then Krishna will personally enter our hearts and help us remove the attachments. And the more we have that service mood, and the more we desire to serve the devotees, stay in the association of the devotees, render service to the devotees, then the more open we become to that purification, the greater opportunity we get. Okay, does anybody have any comments or questions? Yes.
In the translation, you know, halfway through, it says glimpses are every place of misfortune.
Yeah.
So just wondering, you know, what's a misfortune?
What is a misfortune? A misfortune is, very simply put, that we have a desire to enjoy the material world. That's the cause of all of our misfortune. Right? Abhadrani vidunoti suritsatam. So we're very fortunate because we have the opportunity to associate with the devotees and to hear the Bhagavatam and become purified in that association. But we're unfortunate because we're still hanging on to our material. We still have material attachments as a result of lifetime after lifetime after lifetime in the material world. So those attachments, they're our misfortunes. It's our misfortune. Anatta, right? Unwanted things.
In the same context, you know, the previous yugas, many, you know, kings and opulent personalities, they had the material opulence, but yet, you know, performing the devotional service. Right?
Yes.
So that is not considered as a, you know, a misfortune for them.
No. No, simply having wealth is not anatta necessarily, but it can be if you're living just to hold on to your wealth rather than use it in Krishna's service, right? Rupa Goswami's definition of renunciation is that we use whatever we have in Krishna's service. That's real renunciation, because it means we understand dasoham, and that ultimately everything belongs to Krishna. I mention often in class how, you know, in the performance of the sacrifice at the end of each recitation of the prayers in Mayapur, they used to chant that, what is it? Idam Krishnaya, Idam Namama, right? Idam Krishnaya, this is for Krishna, Idam Namama, not for me. Right? So simply put, the great saintly kings like Ambarish Maharaj as an example, and others, Dhruva Maharaj and so many personalities, they were immensely wealthy, but they understood, I'm just the custodian of Krishna's property. Right? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you know, I'm just a dog whose job it is to guard Krishna's house and Krishna's family. This is not my family, this is Krishna's family. This is not my house, this is Krishna's house. Right? So the proper mood and mentality is, I'm looking after Krishna's property, not this is my property, I want to enjoy it. It all gets taken away from us at the time of death anyway, so whose is it? We came into this world with nothing and we go with nothing.
And when you were saying about that instructions, when you go to the doctor, you have to follow the instructions.
Yes.
Very, very important.
Like yes.
When you go to the spiritual master, you have to follow instructions. Otherwise, that's not very good. If you just take the whole bottle, you can even die.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
I remember when I was second year medical student, 1958, I had such a bad diarrhea. Bloody diarrhea.
Hare Krishna.
40 times.
Yeah.
I was glad to be admitted in medical school, hospital.
Yeah.
And why? Because I had taken prasadam in somebody's house. One night before, it was so nice and sumptuous.
You ate too much. Yeah. This is Krishna's advice. Yuktahara viharasya. We have to be moderate in our eating and sleeping. But yes. Each one of us has a particular degree of material contamination, material covering, attachment, if you like. And so we need to take the medicine appropriately. So for some it's a brahmachari, for some it's a grihastha, for some it's a sannyasi, depending on the stage of life, depending on our occupation. You know, one shouldn't become renounced too prematurely, otherwise it'll just upset things and cause all sorts of commotion. Right? So the basic practice of devotional service, hearing and chanting for us 16 rounds, and you know, the process of deity worship and so forth, is applied differently for each person. So therefore we approach, and the idea is, Prabhupada mentions, the spiritual master, the bona fide spiritual master, is able to identify the psychophysical makeup of the devotee and then accordingly help them adjust their lives so that they can practice devotional service, so that it's going to be very effective and their gradual process will be sure. That's why we should seek out the shelter of those persons who can actually help situate us properly on the path, on the progressive path of devotional service. And then take those, you know, take the medicine accordingly. So how did you cure the disease?
Good lesson.
Good lesson. Fast. With that kind of ailment. You know, the amazing thing about India is you can be get, you know, sick so quickly and you feel like you're on your deathbed. Right? Oh no, I'll never do it again, whatever it is, Krishna. I'm your eternal servant. Please forgive me for my offences. And then the next morning you wake up and think, wow, hey, I'm back. I'm back. I can enjoy again. I noticed that, especially, you know, last week I was feeling very weak and deep. And unhappy with life. But then as soon as my health gets back, I think, oh, great, now we can get back into it. Then Krishna, Anything else?
Just wondering, you said before we're not meant to enjoy material existence?
Yeah. Activities in the mode of goodness will automatically bring satisfaction and a sense of happiness. But, as is pointed out by Krishna and by Prabhupada, even activities in the mode of goodness are limited in the material world. And so they will come to an end at some point in time. Even activities, you know, Prabhupada makes the point that we encourage everybody to engage in brahminical activities, which are basically activities in the mode of goodness. But those activities in and of themselves aren't sufficient to come to the point of self-realization. Only devotional service can bring us to that point. We perform our devotional service generally in the mode of goodness, but it's when we come to the point of siddhasattva or pure goodness, pure devotional service, that actually the result that we're looking for can be achieved. But activities in and of themselves in the mode of goodness condition us, and they condition us to this sense of well-being, happiness, of an understanding of things as they are. But if that conditioning doesn't bring us to the point of devotional service, but conditions us to more activities in the mode of goodness, which are purely material, that means we stay in the material world and we have to then be subjected to the repetition of birth and death. And so, you know, the problem with material activities is, in this day and age, and especially in the Kali Yuga, goodness is very, very difficult to maintain. And usually as the influence of the material energy is such that goodness degrades into passion, and then passion automatically will degrade into ignorance. So long as there's a desire to enjoy in the material world, even if we're engaged in activities of the mode of goodness, they'll gradually degrade because of the influence of the material energy. So, you know, the enjoyment is limited and temporary, and so therefore, whilst goodness is superior, it's not the ultimate. How's that sound? We should finish here. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.